In Matthew chapter 9, verse number 9, Jesus passed on from there. He saw a man named Matthew. Everybody say Matthew. His name was actually Levi, and he was sitting at the tax office, and Jesus said to him, "Follow me," and he arose and followed him. Now, in the book of Matthew, Mark and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels. We're studying them on Wednesday night in our Bible school. What that actually means, synoptic means, it means sin means together, and it means that they flow together as one. And so here we're reading an account in the Synoptic Gospel of Matthew that Jesus chose a tax collector named Matthew. Now, I want to give you the name of this title, this message, if we're recording it right now, is Are You a Door or Are You a Wall? And the reason I'm bringing this story, because Jesus looked at Matthew, and he was rejected by men. He was a traitor that worked with the Roman government, because to be a tax collector, the Roman people occupied Israel at the time. They were the enemies of the Jews. And so Matthew was working for the government. He was the Roman IRS. So he was seen as an ally of the enemy, and he was hated of all the Jews. He was also dishonest. The tax collectors were noted as being dishonest, meaning that they charged extra for personal gain. Even the Romans didn't trust them, but they were smart enough to use them. So here's what men saw. They saw a dishonest, they saw a money-grubbing traitor named Levi, but Jesus saw something different. Jesus saw Matthew and the potential in Matthew, not as a tax collector, but as the harvest. Jesus saw an apostle that was hidden inside of the traitor. He saw a man who was the author and would be the writer of the New Testament. Can I tell you today, brothers and sisters, that God has a plan, not only for Matthew, but he has a higher plan for every life in here. That God sees you in a different light than you see yourself. He sees you in a different light than others see you. God sees the deep thing that he created inside of you. The Bible says deep calls unto deep at the sound of thy waterspouts. God is calling to the deep part of a person. He knows your potential, and he knows what you will be. And can I tell you, brothers and sisters, that if we'd have left it up to the Pharisees, help me somebody, if we would have left it up to the Jewish people, they would have closed and shut Matthew out of the kingdom. But what did Jesus do for Matthew? I hope this thing opens. Okay. He opened the door. I think we can leave it like that and it'll stay. Get it fixed for me. If we have an altar call and you happen to come up here and the door falls on you, we will pray for you, I promise. Go ahead and lay it down. I think we got the point across. Well, stay up there with it just for another minute while I read the next scripture. Go over with me now to Matthew chapter 9. You go over to me one. We are in 9, of course. In verse number 37. Jesus saw the harvest in Matthew. He says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Everybody say the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful. How many of you know that the world has no shortage of sinners? How many of you know that preachers, if they're doing God's work, will never run out of business? Come on, somebody, help me now. The economy may go bad, There may not be a lot of pay out there, but the job's not description is never going to go away. That the calling of God does not go away until the return of Christ. The harvest is plentiful. I want you to notice that Jesus did not pray for the harvest to ripen, but he prayed that workers would rise up to go forth in the harvest. You don't have to worry about praying for sinners to get ripe. They're always ripe. There are always people that Matthew was ripe. And while Jesus was the door, I want to ask you the question, are you a wall or are you a door? Do you open the door for people? Do you approach people that are in this world that are lost? How do you see them? Do you see them as part of the harvest, or do you see them as a nuisance and that is vile and corrupt? What did Jesus say in John chapter 4? He said, lift up your eyes and look at the harvest, for the harvest is what? It's plenteous and it's ripe. See, brothers and sisters, we have to ask the Lord for kingdom vision. And you know, I have thought about this, and we've been preaching on grace, we've been preaching on certain things, but when you see a teenager, what do you do with that teenager? Do you take that teenager and you say, you know what, you're all dressed up weird, you got dreadlocks, you got long hair, you do know it's a sin to have long hair. How does that go, Sarah Beth? It's a sin to have long hair that says, how can God forgive? Come on, Sarah, help me. You've been telling me that all week. It's a sin to have long hair. How can God love you when your hair is long as the lily of the valley? That's exactly right. The point is that it is not a sin to have long hair. It's not a sin to dress a certain way. It's not a sin. God looks at the inward heart. He told the Pharisees, he says, you shut men outside of heaven. He says, when you ought to have mercy and grace on them and let them in. See, every time, brothers and sisters, we meet someone, we will either be a door for them to the kingdom of heaven or we will be a wall to them. And if we are in Christ and we are seeing the harvest as Jesus sees the harvest, we will be a door. Now, the devil will get you on your worst day and he'll get you all messed up, get you offended, get you hurt, get you your feelings all damaged, and all of a sudden you do not have the capacity to see grace into people. You will just all of a sudden put your fist down and just say, get away from me. What did the Pharisees do? And what did the Levites do when they saw the Good Samaritan? Or rather, excuse me, when they saw the Samaritan or the damaged person sitting on the side of the road, they went on the other side. But the Good Samaritan came along, whose theology was all messed up, and he became a door. What does the Bible say? True religion and undefiled religion is helping people. When you take a life and you begin to minister to that life, let me tell you what, folks, every one of us in here have the potential to grab somebody's life and to affect it and become a doorway for them into the kingdom of God. It's not so much what you say, it's what you do. It's not so much what you judge, but it's what sometimes what you allow. I've had more people come back and tell me that they're serving God today because we did not judge them. We did not become a wall to them. We became a door. Go ahead and nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, become a door. Don't be a wall. No pun intended. Oh, my goodness. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. Let's go to that scripture. You guys can go ahead and set that door down. I think they got the picture. Yeah, go ahead and set it down. Just carry it out. That'd be awesome. Can somebody go get a vacuum cleaner? No, wait till after the service. I'll be so glad when we get to heaven. No more wireless equipment. Okay. The Greek word for door is thura. It means, now listen to me closely because I really want to keep this message simple. It means a portal or an entrance. A portal or an entrance. We always think of it as a door on hinges, but a lot of times it can be an opening. It can be an opening to get from one place to another. And so Jesus says, I'm the door. If you enter into it by me, you will be saved. Saved from what? This present world that you're living in. Saved from what? Your sinful carnal nature that tries to rule over you. Saved from what? Saved from eternal judgment for those that have rejected God. And you will go in and out and find pasture. Now think about that. You just don't go in. Jesus lets you go out too. You just don't go into this little place called heaven, but you go in, you fellowship with God, and you go back out into the world, and you become a light for him. Verse 10 says, the thief does not come but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you will have life and more abundantly. He also says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. Folks, you know, a lot of times you cannot tell who a shepherd is until trouble comes. Because many times, you know, a lot of pastors look real good while the paycheck is good. You know, they can drive a good car and dress up in a nice suit and have a nice place and everything. But when hard times come, when you see a hard time hit a pastor's family, you'll find out who the real guys are, because the hirelings, when the paycheck runs out, they hit the road. When there's no chance to have fame. That's why I want to be careful here, but a lot of times a lot of these denominations, and they let the pastors start in a little bitty church, and then they stair step them up when they do good to a bigger church. And then when they do better and they really can preach now, they're going to put them in one of their big boy churches. What are we teaching those pastors? Yeah, that a small church is not important, and that if you do good, you'll get paid more. But what about when they come and knock on your door and tell you, if you don't quit serving God, we're going to lock you up? We're not talking about leaving paychecks. We're talking about getting locked up for Jesus. You'll find out who the real shepherds are. That's why I want to emphasize the importance of God's calling in your life. Because God's calling will withstand whatever hardship and persecution comes your way. When God calls you into a house, stay in the house. When God calls you into a ministry, stay in the ministry. Amen. When God calls you into a marriage, stay in the marriage. See, don't go away as soon as persecution and hardships come, because Jesus is the door. Amen. Jesus is the one who lets you in. Into that situation, and he's going to give you grace. There's pasture when you go in through the doorways that God's open. When God gives you a calling and he gives you a vision, somebody help me here, he will give you provision in order to accomplish the vision. So don't ever leave because there's not enough money or there's not enough whatever to accomplish what he's called you to do. Stay in what he's called you to do. Be faithful, because God is not looking at success. He's looking at obedience. I want to thank, I had Rochelle, thank you, sent me a thing on email this week, and it was so good. It's a story about that God had called, told a young man, he says, I want you to go over there, and I want you to start, I hope I'm saying the story right, to push on this huge boulder. So the guy comes up there, and he's pushing on the boulder, and he's pushing on the boulder, and the devil comes up to him, and he says, well, what are you doing? He says, that boulder hadn't moved an inch. How long have you been pushing on that boulder? And the guy got to thinking. He says, you know, you're right. I don't know if I really heard God's voice or not. And finally, you know, the guy starts talking to God. He's still trying to push that big boulder. He says, God, he says, the boulder, I've been pushing on this boulder for months and it ain't moved an inch. And God said, I never called you to move the boulder. I just called you to push on the boulder. Amen? And so many of us are result-oriented, that we don't look and see what God's called us to do. We look to see what we can accomplish, and we judge God's calling and his direction based upon our accomplishments. But it's not based on what God called you to accomplish. It's what he called you to do. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that when God called Hudson Taylor to go to China, God called Adoniram Judson to go to Burma, 17 years passed before Adoniram Judson's first convert happened. Most missionaries would have checked out after the first or second year, said, God didn't call me to do this. This man lost two wives, buried one of them, one went insane, went into the woods, became insane for a season. Nobody knew where he went, could find him. The man lost his mind. He came back after another season, regrouped himself, got back to his calling, and ended up leading a convert, a Buddhist, to the Lord in the place now known as Burma or Myanmar. And this place today now has churches. It's still a restricted, hard country, but because of his faithfulness, churches were established and the lost was won to Jesus Christ. But it wasn't in his generation, but he made the way for others to go in. Everybody say, be a door. But you know, when you are faithful, you create a doorway, not just for your own life, but for your for others. Now, you know, dads and moms, let me tell you what, you are becoming the doorway for your children. You know, either you will open the doorways for your children and create a path. I always like to think of the, you know, just the paths in the cornfields or the cane fields where you just go and knock a path down. If your kids don't have to knock that same path down, it's open. They can walk through it. There's a portal that's made because of your faithfulness. But let me tell you what, if you don't kick the sins that so easily beset you, if you do not kick down pornography, if you do not kick down addictions, if you do not take out over abuse and substance abuse and things like that, your children have to face that same wall that you couldn't overcome. But when you overcome it in Jesus' name, you are a door. Come on, everybody say, I'm a door, not a wall. Hallelujah. That's right. I like this. If you look over in John chapter 20, let's go through a few scriptures. I believe God's going to give some of you some revelation on this. And we're going to already revelation is pouring out on this thing. John chapter 20, verse 26 through 28. Let's move quickly. After 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. Everybody say, the doors were shut. And they stood in the midst, and he said, peace be unto you. And I want you to think about it. Jesus had died. He was resurrected. Disciples are locked away in a room. They're scared for their lives. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, that when Jesus appears on the scene, doors of fear that are shut in your life are going to be opened. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to think with me. Don't think in the natural. Think in the spirit. When you are locked up in fear, you can't do anything. When there's no faith active in your life, you cannot go out and be a witness for Christ. You cannot fulfill your destiny when you are locked up in fear. And so these disciples were locked up in fear, and Jesus appeared on the scene. And why did Jesus come? Look what he did with Thomas. Thomas was one of the ringleaders. You know, you got to be careful who you hang around. You hang around doubters, and you're going to be locked up in the same room with them. Thomas said, you know, he told Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not what? Faithless, but believing. Praise God. Let me tell you what, folks, if you're in a situation now, Jesus will appear in your room and he will unlock your door. And he came to set the prison free. Now, let's go over to Acts chapter 16. Let's keep following this thought. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 through 34. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Man, think about this. I love this. This is one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible, because Paul and Silas had been preaching the word of God. They were wrongly accused of something. They're locked in this old nasty prison cell, and they begin singing praises unto God. How many of you know that God inhabits the praises of his people? It's really what this church, why we formed it, is because with the name called Praise Church, is because we know that when we praise God, it is a picture of faith in action. Because most of the time, it's easy to praise God when things are good, but when things are bad, when you have made mistakes, when circumstances come against you and you praise the Lord, it shows God that I still believe, as we said earlier, all things work together for good. Amen. And when you do that, God says, there's a faithful man. There's faith in action. I can follow that thought. I can follow that action. And look what happens when they move in that. They begin to praise the Lord, and the prisoners heard them. Do you know that people are watching you? Everybody where you're at, they're watching when you go through the doo-doo. I mean, when things are just falling down on you, they're watching to see whether you're going to retreat or whether you're going to lift up that hand and go hallelujah anyhow. They're watching you right now. Prisoners that are locked up in the same cell for so many years, you are either going to be a door or a wall for them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Think about it. When you praise God, you become a door. Hallelujah. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. When you praise God, I'm telling you, folks, things begin to break. As we preach Jesus, the most beautiful name, chains are broken. Darkness flees at the name and the power of Jesus. I saw it this morning. I mean, I came in here this morning. I had the ooey gooey all over me. I couldn't just was sitting there going, you know, I don't, Lord, I don't even know if I can play or sing this morning. And soon them beautiful voices came out and the presence of God fell. I just went, oh, yeah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just wanted to start rocking and shaking and, you know, kind of shaking his shoulder. You know, shake your feet loose. Come on, somebody wave your hand for a minute. Show me if them bonds are loose in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Shake off those heavy bands. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Man, I'm telling you, when you praise God, suddenly the atmosphere changes and things turn around for you. So that the foundations, help me somebody. Man, look, I want you to see, in this message is in the spirit this morning. You got things, generation curses that are bothering you. You got things that just won't leave. When you praise the Lord, foundations are broken. That means the very things that are holding you down are broken, and they're relayed in the name of Jesus. Curses are broken. Hallelujah. Sicknesses is healed. And it says right here that the doors were open immediately. So not only does the foundation shake, but prison doors are open. And it says everyone's bands were loosed. I'm talking everyone. That means your plant worker buddies. That means your gossiping sisters down the street. They're all loosed in the name of Jesus. And it says the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and he saw the prison doors open. He drew out his sword. He was going to kill himself because the prisoners had fled, and that was his job. If you lose your prisoners in that day, you might as well kill yourself. But Paul cried with a loud voice. He says, do thyself no harm. We're here. Hallelujah. Now, you know, I tell you what, I'm just go with me here. This is all Holy Ghost stuff. I can imagine that jailkeeper, you know, probably didn't like Paul and them because they caused him a bunch of problems. Had him chained to the wall. He had him beat. Now, I think after that happened, if it had been me, I kind of would have took just a moment while he had that knife sitting there going, he's about to get what he deserves. Are you going to be a door or are you going to be a wall? Paul decided, I'm going to be a wall to everybody. He says, don't do yourself any harm. I know you rotten sucker. You beat my flesh off of my back. I'm going to be sick for a week because of you. But I tell you what, don't do yourself any harm, because I'm going to be a door for you, and I'm going to show you that the kingdom of God is better any there than being a jailkeeper. Hallelujah. Jesus had mercy on the Roman soldiers. He had mercy on those that put the nails in his hand. Will you have the same mercy? Will you show mercy to people that hurt you? Will you show mercy to people that hurt your children? I'm not talking about being a doormat this morning. I'm talking about being a door. You know, we had a brother that came through here. He was so awesome. I hope we can get him again one day. Brother Emmanuel. And he was from Africa. Man, that brother went to heaven. He died and actually went to heaven for several days, came back, was resurrected, still just ate up. His body was completely destroyed in a landmine. And he came back, and he was just talking about when he came back to the room, and he saw Jesus in heaven. And Jesus showed him that in heaven there is joy. There is joy. There is joy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There is joy in heaven. I mean, God is all about praise. God is all about rejoicing, and he's all about filling his people. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, there's a portal that we create when we obey God's word. When we begin to worship in God, we create a door. It's even been prophesied over this church. Let me just release it more and more. This church has been prophesied on more than several occasions that people have seen angels descending and ascending on the congregation. The reason they do that is because there's a portal there, and that portal is created by worship, because God inhabits the praises of his people. And when you begin to worship God, heaven opens up and angels begin coming down and walking in our midst. They begin ministering to the saints and the heirs of salvation, Hebrews. And I'm telling you, God is here with you right now. He's walking in your situation. He's taking care of your loved ones. He's healing your families. He's taking care of business right now. And he's setting captives free. And he's bringing the prisoners out and giving them life, because we are doors and he is the faithful God. Can somebody give him praise, because he is worthy? Do thyself no harm, because we're all here. Have no fear. Sonny's here. Hallelujah. You know, just tell somebody, you know, it's all going to work out. You ever watch Underdog? You know, have no fear. Underdog is here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. This is really powerful. There is also not only open doors to the captives, but there's open doors for us to preach the gospel. 2 Corinthians 2:12, furthermore, Paul said, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. I want to get into the kind of the final point of this message, and that's that there's different doors that God opens, and you have to look for doors of opportunity that God gives for you. Now, you got to realize, Paul had been praying to go and preach the gospel to the Gentile people, and suddenly God opens a door. Now, I like that somebody sang, I believe it was Dallas Holmes, sang a song, "When God closes a door, look for a window." But let me tell you, I believe the way God works is that many times he will allow a wall to be in place for timing's sake. Because he knows, if you're anything like me, when it's time to go, I'm ready to go. And sometimes I will jump the gun. How many of you ever jumped the gun before? And so many times you have to wait, and when God opens the door, you know it's time to go. And he says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach the gospel, a door was opened unto me. Acts chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. It's another prison story. And the hands, and they laid hands on the apostle and put them in common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Now, here we have a very different situation, but it's the same family of story that happened to Paul locked up inside the prison with Silas. We find that Herod had just beheaded James, and he grabs Peter and the other apostles, and he's about ready to kill them all. They're going to do away with Christianity, and he put him in a common prison. But the angel of the Lord opened by night the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So I want you to see, not only did the angel open the door for Paul to get out of the prison, or for Peter to get out of the prison, but then he opened the door for him to speak to that very place. See, folks, when God begins opening doors, it's just not to let you out, but it's to let you into something. Help me now. Woo! You need to see this morning, because, you know, a lot of you, you know, people, when we pray, some of us are not really looking for answer to prayer. We're looking for relief. We need to quit looking for relief of our troubles and our situations, and we need to start asking God for an entrance into His glory and into His purpose for our lives. So when God opens a door to let us out of something, He's also opened a door to get us into something. Can you say amen on that? Come on, tell your neighbor, neighbor, we're about to come into something here. Because a lot of you have been praying, and God has sprung the trap, and you're out of the you're out of that place that you were in, and you're saying, hallelujah, I'm free. But wait a minute, it's not through. Because God has now bringing you into Beulah land. He's bringing you a place of holiness, a place of promise, a place where the blessings and the power of God is on your life. He's bringing you into harvest, which is God's plan for His people. So here Peter begins preaching and speaking in the temple. They said, wait a minute, didn't we just arrest this guy? And they had to go back and check and make sure that it was really him. And God had sprung him out of one trap and set him right before all the people. How many of you know God's going to put you on show? He's going to put you before people, put you before kings, put you before nations. He's going to showcase His people at the end of time. I really believe that. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Not only is there open doors and vindicating. Everybody say vindication. Because not only did God set Peter in a new place, but He vindicated him before His enemies. The very people that put Peter down were now humiliated. How many of you know God's in the vindication process? I can't stress that enough time for the people of God. Folks, don't ever try to do revenge on your own. Don't ever try to get back or get even with anybody. Because God is setting a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Oh, hallelujah. And he said to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, he said, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts. Everybody say, open and nobody shuts. And he shuts and nobody opens. I know your work. See, I have set before you an open door. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, there's an open door. And no one can shut it. You know, a lot of people are worried, oh, you know, I wonder if God is, yeah, God is, he's opened that door. The devil can't come and shut that door on you. God says it's open, and I've got all authority and power. Satan cannot come behind you and do this. There is an open door for churches right now in heaven. And when the enemies of the gospel form a wall, God will open a door through that wall. And there is a wide open door for a great work here, even though many oppose you. I want you to finish up here in Revelation chapter 4. I can get my keyboard player to come up. It's a beautiful day. We want to let you guys get out and enjoy all that heaven has for you today. Let me get somebody up here who can just bless us. Thank you, Kelly. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, it says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. How many of you ready for an open heaven this morning? And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which says, come up hither, and I will show you these things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And how do you know that one sat on the throne was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm telling you, folks, there is a door in heaven that's open for the people of God this morning. Now, again, remember that a door is a portal. John said, and we just read it, and he said, I was caught up in the Spirit, and he saw these things. That God actually opened the door early for the Apostle John and let him go into heaven and see the things only that his eyes could see. I believe that God's going to open doors here this morning. I believe there's going to be doors not only open to set captives free, but there's doors of opportunity that are going to be open to preach the gospel to Louisiana and to the nations of the world. I believe there's going to be doors open today as we pray to share Jesus to your family. I have seen this, brothers and sisters, and I want to testify. I'm getting a little bit of age on me now. Bible says I was once young and now I'm old. But I've never seen his children forsaken. I haven't seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. Can I tell you, if you will just do the right thing, God will vindicate you. He will give you the desires of your heart and your families will be saved. If you have faith and doubt not, everything that you have purposed in your heart, I believe that God has given us an open door for. I think our problem is that we get sidetracked. I think all of a sudden we turn from the door that we've asked him to open and we suddenly begin to walk down the wall and wonder, why are we bumping into things? You've got to get back to your calling. Somebody help me here. Nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, get back to your calling. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up to the Lord right now all over the house of God. Father, we thank you that you've opened the door that no man can close. And God, you are closing doors that we have no business going into. We don't have to fear about making irreparable mistakes because, God, you are watching us. I hear the Lord saying this morning that I am behind you. My children, I am speaking you. Look not to the left, look not to the left, right, but walk straight ahead. There is that voice talking behind you. You don't have to worry about going to the right. You don't have to worry about going to the left because the Lord, he is your rear guard and he is your forward. He goes before you and he's setting all things in order before you. You do not have to fear. Hallelujah, God. We just proclaim before you the open door. And we thank you. As your hands are lifted right now, say, Jesus, we shake off shackles that hold us down. We shake off foundations of old that hold us back. We break family curses today and we release blessings of God. We set the captives free in our homes. We pull down strongholds in the name of Jesus. Because we wrestle not against principalities, against powers, against rulers, spiritual wickedness in high places. But God, by your strength and by your power, we can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. Can you give the Lord praise? Come on, let's stand on our feet. Let's get the band up here and let's go out with a praise rip.